I'll be home for Christmas. I won't be home for Christmas. Well, it depends on what home it is. If it's South Dakota, we've already kind of done that. If it's Michigan, we'll do that. What does it mean to be home for Christmas? When I was a little kid, one of the first things they teach you in kindergarten, you remember kindergarten when they would say you had to memorize something very important. You had to know your address. And so as a kindergartner, I learned my address and phone number for any emergencies. You had to know where you lived. And so 855 Annette Street, Vallejo, California, 945-90-643-2066. It's been a lot of years since I've had to say that, but I still remember because that was my home. That was my address. That's where I lived. My mom and dad, that's where I slept and ate. That's where home was. Now home is 3713 Lowton. That's where home is. Where is home for you? It's interesting when we say, I'll be home for the holidays, because home for a Christian has a different address. Home for a Christian is completely different, I think, than anyone else. Because my home is not here. My address, I'm going to be home for Christmas. We may celebrate a few Christmases together, you and I. We celebrate Christmas together this year. I mean, for me, I would like to tell my wife, I said, let's not tear anything down. We'll leave it up till December 25th. We couldn't decorate our house like it is down here. We'll just show up. What a great home. We can go have ice cream. We can have cotton candy. Go to the theater. Watch a movie. We got baby Jesus there. I just got to get you guys to show up for my Christmas holiday. That's all. Wouldn't that be a great place? Where's home? Well, for 5 weeks, some of you home's been right down here. You haven't even been home. What is home? I'll be home for Christmas. You can count on me. All of us may never celebrate Christmas together now, but I guarantee you, if you're in Christ, we will all celebrate at least 1 million Christmases together. Because I'll be home for Christmas. You can count on me. I'm going to be home for Christmas. What does home mean? Well, the apostle talks about home, and I want to use home as an acrostic, because for me, home was 855. Home was 3713. Home isn't 1661 North Range Road. This is not my home. Even though I've been living here for 5 weeks, and my daughter would probably tell you, yeah, that's where my mom and dad live. Getting home every night at 10 or 11 o'clock and here first thing and grab the kids and bring them on over and eat food. I'm going to heaven one day. And I want to use home as an acrostic. And the first thing the Apostle Paul tells us, if you're going to be home for the holidays, that means you're going to heaven. That is your home as a Christian. Look at what he says in verses 12 and 13. Paul says, not that I've already obtained this. I'm not home or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that which Christ has taken hold of me. We have a mortgage crisis in the church. It actually started in the church before it started in the world. The mortgage crisis in the world is people are losing their houses. They can't afford it. The mortgage crisis in the church is that the church is trying to make a utopia right here on earth. We want heaven on earth. If you're trying to, as a Christian, make heaven on earth, you've missed it. This is not my home. I'm just passing through. I'm just visiting, folks. I'm not putting any roots down. If you put some roots down here, I don't know what you're going to do. I don't know where you're going to go. We were watching last night. We caught a little glimpse of this Cribs or something. I think it's called Cribs. And they have these celebrities, and they take you through their houses. And I'm watching. I don't even know who the celebrities are. I said, I don't know how famous they are. I don't know who they are. But they've got these houses. Oh, here's all my cars, and here's the house, and here's the pool table, and here's the plasma TV, and here's this. And they're showing it, and I thought, that's great. I'm glad they have their home. That's not my home. My home, somebody else is going to own it someday, or it's going to burn down someday. My cars are going to rust. The bank account's going to be gone. The taxes are coming in. Folks, this is not my home. I'm passing through. I am not a citizen of this place. Amen. I'm a citizen of heaven. That's my heavenly home. And I'm going home for Christmas. I don't know about you, but I can't wait for that first Christmas to walk through the doors and look at God and see Jesus and go, I'm home for the holidays and I'm home for good. That day is coming. Several of my family, they went home for the holidays this year. My sister, two of my dad's sisters, and one of my best friends, his mom. They went home for the holidays this year. They went home for the holidays. I can count on that. Some of your family went to be home for the holidays. It's interesting that when the Scripture says this, there's a couple of words here that are very interesting that talk about not getting our roots down in it. And he says this, brothers, verse 13, I don't consider myself yet to have taken a hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what's behind me and straining. If you'll take that word straining, and I want you to put it with another word in the next sentence. It says, I am straining towards what is ahead. And then he says this, I'm straining toward what is ahead, and then I press towards my goal, heaven. If you take those two words in Greek, it has a great meaning about heaven. It says this, my address is not here, but it's heaven. The word straining comes from the Greek word skopeo. It means to fix one's GPS, to use a modern day word. I looked up the Greek and it said this, to fix one's eyes upon, to really focus, that's where I'm going. And he says, skopeo, I am pressing on. I am focusing, straining. In other words, I'm going on a trip. When you get your map out, where am I going? Every one of us ought to say, where are you going? I'm going to heaven. Where do you live? My house is in heaven. When you going there? I'm going there right now. I'm on my way right now. Everything I do in every moment of my life is my journey to go home. I am making my way home. And you guys can delay your trip home. Can I tell you something? The number one killer of human beings is death. It's 100%. It will get you. It is. That's like one of those Yogi Berra things, you know. Cash, it's almost as good as money. Death will get you. It's the number one killer of humans. It's appointed unto man once to die. So folks, you're on your way somewhere. You may just detour it or deny it, but you're on your way. I already know this. I'm on my way to heaven. I'm skopeo. He says, I am straining forward. I'm on my way. I'm going to be home. I'll be home for Christmas, Dad. How about you? Hey, Grandpa, I'm on my way. I'm straining. I'm going to be home for Christmas. You can count on me. Are you living your life in Christ where you're heading somewhere? Or are you living your Christ where you say, you know what, I know I'm supposed to be thinking about heaven. But folks, on a daily basis, I just don't think a whole lot about heaven because I got my roots so deep in earth. I'm worried about my bills, my girlfriend, my boyfriend, my relationship. I'm so worried about the house, the mortgage, the car payment. I'm so worried about those things. I don't have time to think about, wait a minute, folks. What are you doing buying real estate in the garbage dump when you've got a home address in heaven? You ought to skopeo. You ought to be straining towards. I'm just passing through. I'm not putting any roots down. Well, how long are you staying? I'm not sure. Someone said, how long are you going to be here at Grace? I don't know. Maybe 40 more years. I'll be 85 years old. We'll be down there decorating trees. Hey, Pastor, we need you. What was that you said? You what? You need what? I can't even imagine 85 doing some of this stuff. That's just not going to happen. Jesus is coming back before then. Or he's taking me home. I don't know how long Jesus has me. Folks, I'm your pastor. For how long? Well, today I am. Tomorrow, I don't know. I'm just passing through. I don't know about you guys. I moved here in 1997 into Port Huron. I'm just passing through. I'm just kind of on my way through. I was passing through Iowa before that, Alabama before that. I'm just passing through. I don't know about you folks. I'm just passing through. What are you doing in your life? You take that word, I'm straining. I got my GPS set. I'm already on a trip. And if you come along and say, hey, you want to go here? Well, that doesn't fit into my trip. I'm sorry, I'm not going over there. I'm going this way. This is where God has me. He has a plan for my life. He has it mapped out. He has every rest stop. We need some rest stops. I don't know about you, poor Santa Claus, 4 hours we were going, how's he doing up there? What if some kids have to go to the bathroom? I said, the kids? What about Santa Claus? Get him some Depends. I don't know what he needs up there. Is that okay to say in church? Sure, why not? He was up there 4 hours, bless his heart. God gives us rest stops in this trip because some of you are so tired in the ride on this trip passing through. I am pressing. I am straining. And that word, you take that word, you put it together with that second word. Look at this. It says, I am straining towards what is ahead. I press on. That word press on is the word deoko.
Dooko is a Greek word that's used as a runner in a race. Now, if we can use it in modern day terms, it means I'm driving as fast as I can to get there. I've got my map set, and I'm just on a... Some of you know what I'm talking about. Some of you don't like to go on vacations with family because you know some of your drivers, some of you men, or I don't know, maybe some of you women, you like to get behind the wheel and get there as fast as you can. I like the idea. I go home for holidays and vacations once a year. It's an 18-hour drive to visit my family. And I get on that road, and it's as fast as I can. 18 hours is a long drive. We drove it straight through this year. Once you hit some of those roads in the Midwest, God bless them. They raised their speed limit from 55 when I was in college. It's 75. 20 miles an hour faster. You can get there really, really quick until you hear someone saying, "We got to go to the bathroom." You're going to have to wait. We got another 200 miles I can do on this tank. You know those trips? God has a plan for you. And I'm on my way. And you know why? Because I'm trying to I'm trying to get there as quick as I can. I'm trying to get to heaven. Listen, folks, I'm not... Now, I love this life, but I'm on my way, and I'm going to get there as faithfully and as fast as I can because I know I'm getting to heaven. Those of you that... Your kids are out of your house. I have to tell you, I'm starting to get a little bit empathetic with you. The empty nest syndrome. I have one that's already been out for a couple years. He keeps coming back, so I can relate to you. Whether we want him to or not. It's like, keep moving out. Oh, the bird flew home. You keep feeding them, they keep coming to the back porch. I got another one that leaves January 7th for the Army. And my heart just starts to feel that. It wasn't that long ago. They were just that big. I was holding that beautiful rainbow baby. And some of you, we've had like 7, 8 babies born in the last few months. How quickly they grow up. We don't have to be in a hurry to get to heaven. Heaven will come fast enough. Life happens quickly. We're on this journey. Just make sure you're straining in the right lane as you're going to heaven. This isn't my house. I'm not putting roots down here. You know what? I had families. It was such a beautiful thing. Someone came up to me and says, "My son said, don't buy me anything for Christmas." Went through the Christmas one and I said, "This is what I want for Christmas." You know why? Because we're not putting roots down here. We're putting roots into a different place. We're doing into things. Loving people, what a great thing to do. So we're moving on. We're going into those things. That's the H. My home is heaven. And I'll be home for Christmas. You can count on that. The second thing is, now that I know my home is heaven, the O, say this with me, overcome. That's what we get to do. We get to overcome. When I'm going to be home for Christmas, listen, you'll do anything to get home for Christmas. When you get those holidays, it's amazing to me, the plane tickets and the airports. You know, our economy's horrible, but people are going to find a way to get home, aren't they? They will. They'll get home. They'll find ways. The weather, I remember that first Christmas, my wife and I, we got into that car, that Olds 88 diesel that she had. Oh, she was rich. I married into money. She had a job, an executive, graduated from college, been to Africa for 6 months, played college sports, scholarship, and I thought, this is it. I'm in heaven. That first Christmas we were married, it came down to, you better figure this out early when you get married. Whose house do you go to for Christmas? Who gets Christmas Eve? Who gets Christmas Day? Who gets either? Who gets neither? Her family was clear in Michigan. My family was clear in Oklahoma. So we got in the car and we drove that old car all the way to Michigan. And my family was in South Dakota. So that night we got at midnight. We got in the car. See ya. And they're like, "What are you doing?" I said, "We're young. We're dumb. We're going." We drove around that loop, got down to Holland, Michigan, and on all the way down. And we hit a blizzard. Before we hit Chicago, we couldn't hardly open our door at the one rest stop. The snow was so deep. And I thought, what have I done? We drove all the way. We got to South Dakota the next night and had Christmas Day at my family's. And then 2 days later had to be back to college. Oh, what you do to overcome. You will find ways to get home. You know why? Because there's love. And you want to be with family. I want to go to heaven because I got a lot of family there. I want to see my Savior. I want to see my Heavenly Father. I want to see my grandparents. I want to see my aunt. I want to see my sister. I want to see my little nieces, my cousins. I have a lot of friends who've gone to heaven. I've had a lot of your family that we've had the time together in those hard moments that we've said goodbye. I can't wait. I'm going to be home for... I'm going to overcome this world because I got a better world waiting for me. That's why I can't wait to be home for Christmas. And that's what the Scripture says. Look at what the Scripture says in verse 14. I press on for the goal to win the prize for which God has called me. I want you to know that you live in a world that is hostile. Go down to verse 18. Paul says, I have often told you before, and I say it again with tears in my eyes. There are those who are enemies of the cross of Christ. Do you know to live for Christ is to be not accepted in this world? That's why I'm just passing through. This world doesn't have a whole lot that it can give me. Because if I'm going to live in Christ, this world is not going to accept me. They didn't accept Jesus, did they? John chapter 1 says this. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We have beheld the glory of the one and only begotten of the Father, and the world did not accept Him. You know why the world didn't accept Him? Because this isn't His home. He came into this place to save us, to give us something better that we look forward to. That's why I say, and as a Christian, 855 Annette Street is not my home. It used to be. 3713 Lowton has never been my address because as a Christian, that is simply a place that I occupy that Christ has given me until I move on to what He has given me in heaven. I'm overcoming. I was with Sons Ministry this past week. I did a leadership for their staff, and Tyrone Burrell over there, they do such a great job. They're in the heart of our city in an area where people don't have a lot of hope, and children, boys and girls are counseled and they work with them in groups. That is a tremendous ministry over there, Sons Ministry. And I said, you know, you guys are doing things with children and you're showing them that it doesn't matter what circumstance that they're in, that God has a plan and so much more for them, that those kids can overcome their situation. They don't have to say, well, I was born into poverty or I was born into a single parent home. I was born into this. Many of you were born into those things and look at what God has done in your life. You can overcome those things because in Christ, in a manger, Jesus was born in a manger so that we can live in a mansion. And that's where we overcome. That's the M, H-O-M. The M is a beautiful thing. By the way, let me just say this in that overcoming. We live in a world that if you turn on your television, it's going to tell you that as a Christian, your whole life is supposed to be perfect. Health, wealth, and prosperity. If you come to Christ, well, you're just going to have everything and your whole life met. I found a little article a pastor wrote. He said, evangelical Christians have not only been deeply affected by the prosperity religion, indeed they have become its most adherent proponents. Christians have bought into this whole prosperity theology. The Apostle Peter would have absolutely nothing to do with it. If he were alive today, he'd look at that and just shake his head. Here's what the pastor said. Rather than being a part of this power religion, Peter, the Apostle, throughout his two books of the New Testament, set a different assumption. He said, for example, in the teaching of our Lord, there is no higher privilege than to be so identified with the Son of God that the unbelieving world has virtually no recourse but to hate and persecute the Christian. You live in a world that didn't accept Jesus. Why would you live in a world that accepts Jesus in you? We want to build our utopia on this planet. Plato couldn't do it. Jesus couldn't do it. You won't be able to do it. If you're going to live your life to Christ, you give the world no option but to not accept what you have to say. Now, I will say this. The world and the laws and the system of the world, but the people, when they want something real, they will come to you first. Isn't it true? You watch. Oh, they'll persecute you. They'll make fun of you at work. Oh, you're one of those Christians. Oh, you're one of those people that just mind-numb people telling you what to do, worshiping a false god. Guaranteed, the minute they're sick or something goes bad, you know who they're coming to for prayer. Those crazy, crazy people. I get those calls all the time. They're the one and outers. You know the one and outers? Oh, God, if you get me out of this situation, I'll go to church. I'll never. They're one and out. They get God comes through for them. It's amazing what God will do. No wonder why the Scripture says it's His goodness that leads us to repentance, oh God. God's always good to us, regardless of how we are to Him. And so He writes that. The mansion. Look at what the Scripture says. Our citizenship is in heaven. God has given us a mansion. Down here we have this beautiful manger set up. And I tell you, those babies that have been in there yesterday, I saw the little Campbell baby, and he's just laying there cooing away. Lying. You think about away in a manger, no crib for a bed, the little Lord Jesus. Just the peace. He's just laying there with His peace. He's just looking up at everybody, and people are walking by going, oh, look, a real baby. You know, it's like His first acting job. And we've had other babies there. There's been a couple others, and we have more today. And how beautiful it is to see that. A manger. Because Jesus in a manger, we have a mansion. Folks, I'll be home for Christmas. I'm going to have a mansion in heaven. I am going to have a mansion in heaven. He didn't say I'm going to have a house in heaven. The Bible, people ask me, Pastor, tell me about heaven. What is the Bible? I have a gentleman. He is just a scholar. And he always comes up to me asking these questions. I just look at him and go, I don't know. He goes, where can I find out the answer? And I give, as 25 years as a minister, a theological degree in biblical studies, I tell him, Google it. I'm honest, at least. I don't know. Google it. You'll find it somewhere. He'll ask me, why doesn't the Bible say anything about heaven? I said, well, it does. Well, what? Well, it says we have a mansion. Jesus said, in my Father's house are many rooms. That's what the English says in some translations. Bad translation. Are many mansions. Folks, I'm going to get to heaven, and I'm going to walk in, and I'm going to go, look at my house. I'll be home for Christmas. Come on over sometime to my mansion. I'll come over to yours. But we're going to have this gigantic tree just constantly there. Are there trees in heaven? Don't know. It didn't really say much about that. But in my house, in my mansion, there's going to be a tree. It's going to be about 40 feet tall going up to near the second story. I'm going to decorate that thing. I'm just going to jump off the ledge and just decorate it by wrapping lights around it. And then land on the ground 40 feet later. And so he says, can you jump? Can you do that? Well, you're in heaven. I mean, what are you going to do, die? I mean, where are you going to go? What, are you going to end up back at the gate? Oh, you're here again. Don't you live here? Yeah, I know, I just jumped again. I can't wait. I don't know what's going to happen, but the Bible says very few things. But it does say that we're going to get a mansion. And I love this. It says in your scripture there in verse 21, who by the power, Jesus, by the power that enables Him to bring everything, will transform our lowly bodies. My wife's favorite tonight. My wife's favorite show. Absolute favorite show. Extreme Home Makeover. Get the tissues. Get the popcorn. It's going to be a tear-jerking Sunday night at 8 o'clock. Because they have these families who all have these, usually almost everyone has some physical need that they can't have met in their house. So they build these mansions for these people so that their bodies can live in these houses. Well, God's not doing that for us. He's not changing the house so our body can fit in. He's changing our bodies so we can fit into His mansions. My body's getting transformed so I can live in heaven. Die all you want, jump all you want, no parachutes. I mean, no fear, no tears. But the Bible doesn't really describe heaven other than the mansion. I mean, there's streets of gold. But and all these books, God, couldn't you have talked about heaven just a little bit more? All these books, and there's nothing. Nothing. And everybody's asking me. And I tell them, Google. Is that what you wanted? You could have just put something more in here other than no more tears, no crying. They don't need light. God will be the sun. That's it. And I know why He didn't put more in here. Because if God would have told you all about heaven, you'd all be out in front of a semi-truck today. And I'm not lying to you. If you're sitting in the garbage dump in Tijuana, Mexico or Juarez, Mexico, and you're scrapping through fly-infested maggots to find something to eat, and you see a mansion down the street and someone says, it's yours, you are not staying one more moment on that pile. Why in the world, in this fallen world, would you stay another moment? If God described what heaven was like in its beauty and its majesty and everything, no wonder why He only let one guy come back and really tell you all about it, Jesus Himself, and then not really tell you all about it, because you folks would be doing dumb things. I would be the first in line. Why wouldn't I want? Why would I want to get cancer? Why would I want sickness? Why would I want divorce? Why would I want pain? Why would I want to get robbed? The Bible says, don't store up yourself treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy, but instead store it up in heaven where thieves can't break in and steal. Home for Christmas. I can't wait to get there. But in the meantime, there are folks who don't have a key to the front door. And so God has me here because you and I need to get there. There are a lot of people who don't have a key. And that's the last thing. You say, wait a minute, it's E. I know. E, key. H, heaven. O, overcome. M, mansion. E, key. Okay. Doesn't fit, does it? That's right, it doesn't fit. Because everything that Jesus does will not fit heaven. I mean, everything that that the world does to try to get to Jesus doesn't fit to get you into heaven. Jesus says, you want to be first? Be last. You want to be great? Be the least. You want heaven? Give your life away and you'll save it. That's why E doesn't equal key. I had a teacher in the first service. She came up, even when I was saying that, she was sitting right over here, brother, and she just looked up and she did this to her husband. She goes, E doesn't equal key. That's not right. And then after I explained to her a little bit more, she understood. Let me explain a little bit more. I hate carrying keys. These are only half of my keys, the ones I absolutely have to have until I need the other ones I absolutely have to have. But to carry these around, it's annoying. The other day, my wife, in everything that we're doing, we were on Pine Grove, she says, we got to pull into the car dealership. I won't tell you which one, but I said, what for? I don't want to. We don't have time for this. She goes, just pull in. They mailed us a key that could win a car. Oh. I said, I'm sure it's a gimmick, but we could win. I really don't want. Okay, if you want to go in. Okay, so I pulled into the car dealership. It was cold outside, so I sat there for a minute. She looked over at me. She goes, well. I said, well, what? She goes, go in. I went, oh. She handed me the key. I got out of the car. I walked in. Hi, you know, and hi, you want some coffee? Hi, hi. Hey, you here to buy a car? No. Did I win a car? No. Oh, you're here for that? Yes, I am. Did I win a car? Well, why don't we sit down and talk? No. Did I win a car? Well, why don't we talk? Do you have any needs? Do you own a car? I said, I have 2.5. I don't need a car, unless it's brand new and it's free. You sure you don't want... Here, sit down for a minute. I'll be right back. I thought, oh, great. Comes back. You sure? No. Okay, let's go look. We got up. We walked over this thing where there was a piece of paper and it had a little number and this had a number. Oh, you didn't win. I said, oh, really? I didn't. Oh, okay. Would you like to look at some... No, I have to leave now. Because I have to go out into the van. Tell my wife we didn't win the car. We didn't have the key. And you know why we didn't have the key? Because nobody has the key. The only person that has a key lives in the Philippines. I'm sure they mailed one because you have to. But get behind the Iron Curtain in China to get it. Jesus Christ came, born in a manger, and E equals key. He died on a cross. It's funny, he was born in a little wooden stable, and he died on a big wooden cross. It's interesting that he was born in a manger, rejected by the world, and the world that rejected him also crucified him. But more than that, when he was dead, he did something. When he died, the Bible says he descended into the depths. And the Bible says he took the keys from Satan.
And the keys of death He took. And He offers them to you and to me this morning. He says, I have a key for you. Want to pull in? And I say, when I get to heaven, the door will be opened. Why? Because I have Christ in my life. And He has the key. And He's going to unlock heaven for me. I'm going to be home for Christmas. Just you wait and see. I guarantee you, I'm going home for Christmas. I hope you are too. Because Christ has got a key for you and I. I don't know where you've been at. I've watched almost 5,000 people looking just to see the wonder of Christmas right down here. And what I've seen in every one of them is they've come out and they've grabbed, where's Wes? I don't know if he's in here still. Wes, he says, I love my job. I said, what do you do? He says, I'm out at the door. I'm there when they come in and I'm there when they go out. And he says, every person, he says, I've got the greatest job in here. I said, why is that? He goes, every person walking out this door gives me a great big hug and smile. Thank you, you have no idea. Thank you. One lady said, I wasn't going to have Christmas, but now I'll have Christmas. Christmas. One lady was so overwhelmed, she came in, she went out in her car, sat in her car, and just cried. Folks, I'll be home for Christmas. You can count on me. I hope God can count on you. Let's go home for Christmas, all of us, and celebrate Christ. Let's stand together.